Today, the U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments over how far police can go in searching you. The question is whether people arrested for minor offenses can be strip-searched no matter the circumstances. In recent years, courts have become more willing to approve those kinds of searches. Now comes a case that began on a New Jersey highway in March of 2005. Here's NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
Albert Florence, his wife and little boy, were in a celebratory mood as they motored their way to his parents' home. Florence, the finance director for a car dealership, and his wife April had just bought a new house. She was driving when he noticed that their BMW was being followed by a state trooper. Mrs. Florence assured her husband she wasn't speeding, but the officer signaled them to pull over. After checking her license, the trooper asked who owned the car. And upon learning that her husband, sitting next to her, was the owner, the trooper ordered Mr. Florence out of the car.
I followed his directions, you know, to a T. You know, I wasn't loud, I wasn't boisterous.
But the officer told him there was an outstanding warrant for his arrest and handcuffed him. Florence had no criminal record. His only brush with the law had been years earlier when he, by his own account, stupidly left the scene of a traffic stop and was fined $1,500. He was in his 20s back then and had fallen behind in his payments, prompting a judge to issue a bench warrant for his arrest. Florence immediately paid up in full and thereafter kept the record of his paid fine in his car. It didn't do him any good because the arrest warrant apparently was never purged from the state's computers. And on that day in 2005, when he showed the paperwork to the state trooper, the officer apologized but said he still had to arrest him. Now, as most TV watchers know, the Constitution requires a suspect to be promptly arraigned and in most cases released on bond if necessary. However, in Albert Florence's case, despite the best efforts of his wife, he didn't get a hearing and remained in jail for a full week. At the Burlington County Jail in New Jersey, where he was first taken, he was told to shower and then inspected by a guard.
He was about an arm's distance, and he instructed me to turn around, squat, cough, lift up my genitals, and then put on the orange jumpsuit.
Florence says he pleaded with jail authorities to check with Essex County, where the warrant originated, and he kept waiting for his hearing, but it didn't happen. Meanwhile, his anxiety was growing. His first child had been born prematurely, and his wife, 7 months pregnant, was at risk for another premature birth. By day four in jail, Florence was, in his words, pretty messed up.
I felt helpless.
After 5 days, he was transferred to Essex County, where he expected everything would be straightened out.
But it was the same hell over again.
This time, he was not only strip-searched, but unlike in Burlington County, where he was by himself.
I'm with a whole bunch of murderers and carjackers and rapists and, like, all kinds of walks of life that I wouldn't wish upon anybody.
Finally, a day later, after his wife got a lawyer, he was released. He sued both counties for failing to give him a hearing and for what he contends were illegal strip searches. The failure to provide a prompt hearing is an issue still pending before the lower courts. The strip search is before the Supreme Court today. Florence contends that strip searching a person who's arrested for what his lawyer calls a non-criminal offense violates the Constitution's ban on unreasonable searches. His lawyer, Susan Channa Lask, notes that Florence was not arrested for a knife fight or a drug violation.
He was pulled off the street for a traffic stop. There was no reason to strip search Albert Florence unless they thought he was carrying contraband, and they never made that case.
Indeed, the state of New Jersey has a policy against suspicionless strip searches, and Lask, in her brief, calls astonishing the number of trivial offenses for which individuals are regularly arrested and would be subject to indiscriminate strip searches. Such jailable offenses include car equipment violations, such as driving with a noisy muffler, parking violations, even riding a bike without a bell. The New Jersey counties, however, have an entirely different perspective. Representing them, lawyer Carter Phillips will tell the Supreme Court today that cases like Florence's are both rare and better than the alternative. Phillips notes that Essex County, for instance, includes Newark, where thousands of prisoners are processed, and he contends that routine strip searches of everyone protects prisoners and guards alike.
That is simply the safer approach to say, if for whatever reason the system has seen fit to put you into a jail and to admit you for some period of time, that you have to then go through the strip search process.
The U.S. Supreme Court in 1979 ruled that prison officials may, in the name of security, conduct strip searches of prisoners who have planned contact visits with outsiders. The court said such searches are reasonable in order to prevent weapons, drugs, and other contraband from being brought into the prison. Until quite recently, however, the lower courts have not permitted automatic strip searches prior to conviction for those charged with minor offenses. In the last decade, that trend has started to reverse, and now that question is squarely before the Supreme Court. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.